Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
And welcome back to the second hour of the show. This is Issel and Louis on ESPN 680, 105.7. And this hour of the show is brought to you by our friends at Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is simple. You can call them at 1-800-955-2030, or you can always visit them online at ky.deltadental.com.
And I mentioned it earlier in the show, and if you're just joining us for the 11 o'clock hour here on Issel and Louis, we're taking you up until the NCAA tournament at noon here on ESPN 680-1057. I wanted to thank all of you for getting in on our bracket challenge at ESPNLouisville.com. 4,252 brackets. Very cool. Really appreciate that. I'm always amazed at how many of you hang out with us every day. It's very cool. The prizes, by the way, affiliated with that, with the bracket contest is, number one, a Gorilla basketball goal from Steepleton. Someone texted it earlier for the fifth straight year. I'm not going to win that basketball goal after day one. We've all been there. A TV from our friends at RGB. Passes to Bourbon and Beyond and Louder Than Life. Tickets to Adam Sandler in April at the Yum Center. Cox's and Evergreen Liquors have tailgating gear and fan cave swag. Other other prizes are VIP experiences from the TVT, TBT, not TVT. What is it? What do you think the TVT is? So not the basketball tournament, but the volleyball tournament?
TVQ?
I said.
I thought that was a sales show on television.
Gift cards from Double Dogs, Bear
Nose Pizza. Oh, no, that's QVC.
Great Fun Brewing Company, Raising Cane's. Tickets to Holiday World, Ale 8, basketball, gift baskets, and golf passes to our friends up at Wooded View Golf Course over there, just the other side of the river. So there you go.
Do you have ESPN on in the studio?
Yes.
They're talking about Rick and wanting to coach for 10 more years. This has been a long segment, too. He said the 2 years he was out of coaching were the two most miserable years of his life. He wants to coach till he's 80.
Hmm. Well, I mean, he is as in shape for a 70-year-old as you're going to find.
Yeah. I wish I had that hair. I know that.
Yeah, I wish I had that hair. jerks. We've been talking lots of different things going on. Today, is there a game on the docket outside of the locals, Dan, that stands out to you today?
I was just looking at that. And
are you going today?
No.
Oh, Dan.
No. I decided me and my recliner have a great relationship. I don't want to break it up.
I need a picture of you in a Kansas shirt shaking hands with Drew Timmy, because then James Strebel will actually die.
to answer your question, and I might be an idiot, Purdue is favored by 24 points and they might win by 30, but after watching Fairleigh Dickinson and the way that they play, I think they're going to give Purdue matchup headaches.
I know we don't have the sound, but their coach got in the locker room after the game and he was like, I've watched Purdue, I know their game plan, I think we match up well. And he realizes the cameras are on. And he goes, but let's stay humble, let's stay humble. That's great.
I would agree with that. I'm looking for, outside of the Kentucky and the Indiana games, that's what I'm looking forward to the most. But looking down through this list, what amazes me, Louie, is how close Vegas has some of these games.
Yeah, right. Yep.
I mean, Indiana is a 4 seed, Kent State a 13. Indiana's favored by 4.5 points.
Well, yesterday, Furman was a 5-point dog. I mean, you see how those games go. Yeah.
Yeah. Miami, a 5 seed against Drake, a 12 seed. Miami's a 2-point favorite. There was another one on here. Creighton, a 6 against North Carolina State, 11. Creighton's only 5. Iowa State, a 6 against the number 11 Pittsburgh. They're only a 5-point favorite. And, of course, your Spartans, only a 2-point favorite.
Oh, I know.
Against Southern Cal. So, you know, these games are going to be fun today.
So, yeah. I have Southern Cal in my bracket, in case anyone's wondering. Michigan State has moved up to 2.5. It was 1.5 when I woke up this morning. So, there you go.
Mm.
All right, all that smart money coming in late, Dill.
That's right.
There you go.
Move that line a whole point.
I say smart money to Avery, who had a drink delivered to the studio today, which is not.
What'd that cost you, Avery?
Okay, so because I went through DoorDash, it was about $14.
$14 for a cup of coffee.
No, well, it actually does have coffee in it. But if I had gone in store, it would have been like 9. Yeah.
That's a $9 drink?
Well, you see, I have to customize it because I can't have the main milk base.
$9 drink. That's what that line at Starbucks is every day that I pass on Shelbyville Road?
Yeah.
A bunch of people getting $9 drinks?
Yeah.
I get made fun of for having a French press around here so I can make a pot of coffee for 38 cents or whatever it is.
Hey,
$14. This is the generational thing that I just don't get, man. I just don't get it. It's all right. No, every generation has their thing. And look, Avery also doesn't spend $14 on a pick 3. I get it. Like, it's fine. I mean, you know. It is what it is. But texture saying they'd like to see Memphis lose. Is there any chance of that? The answer to that is absolutely.
Yeah.
Because Charleston's good, man.
Yep.
Or Florida Atlantic, excuse me. I mixed up my names. Yeah, Florida Atlantic.
Charleston was the upset pick yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday was one of them.
That didn't work
right.
out too well.
Mixing up my Southern schools. Yeah, FAU's playing them. Absolutely, they can win that game. But yeah. I will say, it's one of those things that happens in sports. People don't want to like Penny Hardaway. And so when he does well, they don't praise him. And they wait for him to trip up to make fun of him. Like with Imani Bates last year and all that. You know, snafu.
Why do they
things.
Not like him?
I think they think he's slimy.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's, I don't know. I don't know that he's slimier than anyone else. I mean, Christ.
He was, but he has that AAU background, right. And that just reeks slimy. Those AAU guys.
Texter, I felt uncomfortable ordering an old fashioned for $8 at the Spaghetti Factory the other day. I did not know people still ate at the Spaghetti Factory. How about that? $8 for an old fashioned is all right.
Perception is reality, Louie. Somewhere, sometime, somehow, Starbucks were able to convince people that, you know, spending $6, $7, $8 for a cup of coffee was, you know, in the norm. I feel the same way about bottled water. and I have to go to the grocery store every other week and bring 4 cases of bottled water in.
Hmm.
And then I have to put it in the refrigerator to make sure it's cold.
Are you picky about which kind of bottled water you get?
No, because I don't drink bottled water. If you go over about 5 feet to the right of the refrigerator, there's a thing called a faucet. And water comes out of that. That's what I drink.
God bless America.
Yeah. So you know there's only 2 of us here. So you know who's drinking the bottled water.
I don't blame her.
That I have to schlep in and fill up the refrigerator.
You know, you need to get her a Brita, and she needs to deal with a Brita.
A what?
The filtration system that you place in the fridge. I think it's probably more about the temperature of the water than anything else, right?
You can get cold water out of a faucet.
I get the out of the front of our fridge, the water is very cold.
It's amazing how cold fridge water dispensers get.
I agree with you. By the way, Red Hot Roasters, I get four coffees every Tuesday. I've priced it. It would be something like $16. And I get you a large vanilla latte, which is an added thing.
Yeah.
And I get three large coffees. And it's $4 more than what you paid for one drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just putting it out there.
I know. You came in and you saw me like walking back with my drink. And you just like, I could have gone and picked you up something.
I also offered that. And you were like, I know you would have. Literally, if you text me, hey, I'm having a bad morning. Can you get me a latte? I would get you one.
I know you would.
Okay, well,
that would be every morning.
You see, I wasn't raised to ask for things.
I would suggest, outside of your father, that you probably just haven't had a nice man in your life who does nice things for you, and you're just not used to it, and that's okay.
No, he's good. I said outside of your father. I know.
Right. I'm not besmirching the dad. I'm besmirching every other man that you know. That's all.
Yeah, I know some crazy people.
There it is.
But yeah, like, I was just raised not to ask for anything. So now it's always weird.
Hey, it's hard to do nice things for somebody when you're laying in the bottom of the Ohio River, Louie. With cement shoes.
Why does Avery have so much cement in her office? Texter, I'm old enough to think that a $6.50 chicken sandwich is steep. I'm with that, Texter, man. That's tough.
Yes. Yeah.
I saw filet of fishes this year are 2 for $7. Oh, hurt my heart.
They don't put anything on.
I know, it's a nothing. It's a nothing burger, man. $7. Oh, killed my soul, Dan.
Mm.
Oh man. All right. So who's more likely to lose, Indiana or Kentucky?
I don't know anything about Kent State.
Okay.
I do feel sorry for Indiana fans. That's a 10 o'clock game?
Woof.
Is that not right?
It's in Albany at 9:55.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going to that game and you get out and you walk onto the streets of Albany, New York? It's like...
At midnight?
28 degrees out. It's drizzling. And like, your team just lost. And you have to go to Albany. Ugh.
I'm going to say it's more likely Indiana loses.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, Kent State is on a very long win streak at this point. And they score the ball like crazy. So they are 28-6 this year. Their losses are to Charleston, Houston, Gonzaga, and then 3 conference losses. So literally their 3 losses are to tournament teams. They have won their last 6, including an overtime game against Akron. Who I think had Akron the good team or was... Akron, yeah, 3rd in the MAC. Yeah, they were 22-11. The MAC actually had a pretty good year this year at the top.
Louis, when are we going to get rid of these guys that have played 5 and 6 years? Is that over with? Or
I saw Ping Pong came out with every year he comes out with a metric of how old the tournament is. In other words, number of years of experience in NCAA basketball of tournament teams.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's in the high ones, just under 2 years of experience. And this year it's almost 3 years. It's literally
an extra year.
Be. Right.
College of Charleston, their star has been there 6 years and is 24 years old.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, I just think that's – I mean, I get it. I get it. You get an extra year because of COVID. I get all that. But I hope we get back to, you know, guys can play 4 years and that's it.
You know, it's an interesting – I think it's an interesting societal question, actually, Dan. So one of the things that's been brought up is that the boomer generation, so people probably 10 to 15 years younger than you, didn't save well enough to retire, so many of them are working well into their 60s and are planning to. And what that does is it keeps a younger person from being able to get an entry-level job where that person is. And it's hampering young people getting into the markets that those people are in, that are staying around because they didn't save, which is also ridiculous because if you worked during the 80s and 90s and weren't investing, you're an idiot. It was the easiest time in the world. Everyone could have been a stockbroker in the 90s. Good God. And so I think that's also happening right now in college basketball, where that's why there are so many good transfers from smaller schools, because the bigger schools have these older guys. Like an Oscar Tshiebwe years ago isn't playing again this year, right? Or a, you know, I mean, like Hauser for Michigan State is playing right now. He looks older than me. This, if it's not his sixth season in college, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I think I saw him as like a sophomore 4 years ago. At
if you redshirted along the way, and you get that extra year, yep. I mean, 6 years is, that's it. You can be in school for 6 years.
Yeah, or you get a medical redshirt or something. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Texture, the NCAA should be charged with a crime for allowing that game to start after 9 p.m., especially in Albany, New York. I mean, come on. Woof. I mean, on a day when you've got games in Denver and in, where else are they playing today? Greensboro, Albany, Denver,
Columbus.
And Columbus. Boy, yeah. that's very East heavy. They should have split up the Sacramento games.
Yeah, no, you're right.
In the, boy, there's only one Western site right now. I didn't even think about this. I mean, Des Moines and Denver are the second and third most Western landing spots for teams. That's wild. But yeah, no, that's a really, really late start. I'll say it's Kentucky. Because for all of the build-up to this game feels a little bit like what we do with every college football team every year, where it's, we talk about them all summer, and, oh, it's Mark Stoops, he's got this, they got him working this guy, da-da-da. You know, they'll go like 7-5. And then we get to the week of the first game, and what do, Dan? We add a win. Suddenly everybody
exactly.
goes from 7-5 yep. to 8-4, right?
Right.
Okay. And,
right.
And look. It's silly season. It's hope season. That's what you're supposed to do as a fan. And so I'm not really criticizing it, because all of us do it, right? I feel like we're doing that with Kentucky basketball right now. We're getting ready for this game. And I think part of it is, for sure, that people really like the players on this team.
No question.
They're really rooting for the guys on the team. And so I do wonder if there's a little bit of, I want these guys to win in the NCAA tournament after what happened last year, for example, or just, you know, keep the streak going of every 4 years at least winning one tournament game. Which, by the way, if you've never heard me talk about this before, that's what's on the line today for Kentucky basketball, is at every point since the NCAA tournament started, Kentucky has won a game in the NCAA tournament at least once every four-year cycle. I think that's one of the highest bars of any team accomplishment in college sports. I think it's incredible. And it speaks to the long-term health and excellence of Kentucky basketball.
Yeah.
Okay. It's why it's absolutely one of the blue bloods. No question.
The tournament's been around since the 40s? Yeah. Or does it go back to the 30s?
There was a tournament in the 30s. I think for Kentucky, their reference point is in the 40s.
Okay.
Yeah. But still, we're talking about 80 years.
Yeah.
And we're talking about 2022 full cycle, something like that. And that is unbelievable. That is generational greatness. And so today's game, I, for those kinds of things, and I get it, for the guys on the team, it's not, they're thinking more about St. Peter's than they are about the 4-year record that
that's why I think that if they don't come out, Kentucky, if they don't come out and play just, you know, all out, everything to the wall,
right?
I will be shocked, because you've got Wheeler, you've got Fredericks, you've got Toppin, you've got Tshiebwe, and a few guys on the bench that lived that last year. And surely they don't want to do that 2 years in a row.
Right.
So if they don't come out and just play all out, Louis, I'll be shocked.
I think you're probably right. So texture in, and this is why I want to clarify what I'm saying, because the texture is correct, but it's not what I'm saying. Only win one game in the tournament every 4 years, I would think that's lowering the bar, isn't it? The answer to that is yes.
Absolutely.
No question, that's lowering the bar. You're correct. But what I'm getting at is, to do that for 80 years, changing coaches, suspensions, postseason bans, all kinds of stuff, when the team wasn't great, you know, in the, you know, after the Sutton years and those kinds of things, to have maintained that, where you at least get to the tournament and win a game. Jack Grossman just graduated from Indiana. They didn't even qualify for the tournament when he was there. He was there for 4 years. They didn't and qualify. That's Indiana. And that is Indiana.
Yep.
I get it. They're not on the level of Kentucky. No one's arguing that. That's not it. I'm not trying to do a what about either. But people think of them as a top 10, 12 program. No question. They didn't even make the tournament for 4 years. To have your entirety of your program at that level for as long as Kentucky has is a massive deal. And so I think for historical reasons, today's game is really important. Really, really important. You do not want that streak to go away.
I know if they would lose this game tonight, I there's no telling what'll happen around Big Blue Nation.
That post game show, I might drive down if it's close at half or they're losing at half. I might drive down here just to watch
the post game show.
Yes, just sit behind Ents in the producer room and smile. Just sit there and only because, and by the way, not smiling because they lost, but rather just right. Watching the guys because go apoplectic. Blue, yeah, right.
Because big BBN Billy will be in his glory.
It's actually saying Kentucky has the players and maybe Cal needs to hire Robic again. Look, I think the third coaching, when we get to the end of the season, we start talking about that. I think one of the underrated things that happened yesterday, Dan, on this show, was when I asked Ben Roberts, was anyone surprised? And he's like, no, we've been talking like 3 months in Lexington about KT Turner leaving. It's like, excuse me? Excuse me? Around the new year you knew this guy was trying to get out? That's very interesting news. And what that tells me, too, when did we start noticing that Cal was taking over more of the game planning and more of the on-the-court stuff, Dan?
When he had the old regime.
Think about it this season.
Oh, this season.
It was after the new year.
Yeah.
Right? So Clearly something happened where he said, all right, you guys aren't doing game plans anymore. I'm taking that over. And they win at Tennessee. They win at Arkansas. Cal did a very good job in most of the games outside of the Vanderbilt games the last month.
See, that's why, Louis, from the very beginning, not very beginning, but early in the season, my question was who was doing the game planning?
Yep.
Who was doing the scouting report? Because it looked like, you know, they had no clue what the other team was getting ready to do.
So I started to think about that yesterday after Ben said that because I started to think in my head, what if there was a coaching disconnect that happened in the fall and winter that was shored up by the time they got to February? But I don't want to make excuses because I agree with the texter. They have players at Kentucky this year. They've got dudes. I mean, Reeves can shoot the lights out. Oscar is Oscar. Kaysen Wallace is a fine freshman. They you know, Jacob Toppin has finally grown into his body. He's playing really well. I wonder what that discontinuity was in the coaching staff.
Especially if you're right, you know, and I understand, you know, the kid's three seats down on the bench and he's got a chance to be the head coach. But as you said yesterday, you didn't think the head coaching job at UT Arlington paid a whole lot more than what he was making at Kentucky.
I would guess he's taking a pay cut.
Then that makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, I agree with the texter too. There's a different text that it's been a general slide since 2015. The point here about this win today, about keeping this 4 year span together, is your hope is that next year with the guys that are coming in and whoever else they can get in the transfer portal, that you can re-grab some of that magic from 10 years ago, essentially. And so that's what I would say to that. Can you tell me why John Robic was let go? He was so good. I don't know the answer to that, unfortunately. So I don't know if it's a personality thing or if he just wanted to try something different or live somewhere else. And, you know, we always forget. We just assume everyone wants to live in Lexington. I don't want to live in Lexington.
If you had a chance to be an assistant coach at UK, you wouldn't live in Lexington? Come on, Louie.
I live pretty well here, man.
I understand that. But that's not what we're talking about. They have gated communities in Lexington, too.
I love that it's Dan that lives in the gated community and not me. And it's Dan that points out, like, tries to make people think that I live in one. That's my favorite thing.
Yours very much so looks like a gated community.
Fine.
But yes, thank you, Ava.
But it's not gated.
It could be a gated community. It gives off that vibe.
Is Robic still living in Lexington? Oh, good Lord. All right. There's something going on. I don't get it. Do you hear that noise, Dan?
Yes.
That's the paper form because I didn't have a computer yesterday.
You had to go out and buy a form. I love it.
I mean, I have a subscription, but I couldn't get into my subscription, so I had to go and pay for
the
form.
Buy a form.
There you go. Blech. Yep. Blech. All of it. Blech. Avery, blech. Dan, blech. More blech. Next.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribot on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment here on Issel and Louis this week, taking you up until noon for the NCAA tournament. Live coverage here all weekend for the NCAA tournament, presented by our friends. And the bracket challenge was presented by our friends at Kentucky Fish and Wildlife, CaliKentucky.com, Seven County Services, and Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. Thanks to the over 4,200 of you that put a bracket up this year. We really do appreciate, and those kinds of numbers remind us that we're not just screaming into the void. And so we appreciate you hanging out with us. We got to Friday, people. You can do it. Happy St. Patrick's Day if you partake. Today, I did misspeak about the 93-9 schedule. They will have Louisville baseball today. So at 5:50, they'll have the pregame with Sean Moth, first pitch at 6 o'clock. I guess they'll play in this, right? Yeah, I guess. It's kind of an ugly day, but I'm sure they'll play in this. They'll figure it out. Jeff Walls, Lord. Dan McDonald, amateur meteorologist. I'm sure they'll figure it out. So thank you for hanging out with us.
Now, Jeff Walls been watching their practices.
All right, so why don't you thank our friends at Bear Nose, and we'll get into some picks.
Yeah, we want to thank George and the team for bringing Bear Nose by today. Lunch at the ESPN studios. You know, they'll have you covered for all of the games this weekend. Carry out, delivery, or dine in. There are 14 area locations in Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose pizza. So you don't need a cheese pizza today, huh?
Do you know what's funny is I just thought about that. We're going to get a cheese pizza today. This will be the day that he remembers that it's Lent, and they'll send that instead of like last week. I had to go. Yeah. Anyways, doesn't matter. No one cares.
I got.
All right. So a couple things. Why don't we do horse racing right now, and we'll close the show with our IU and UK picks. How's that?
Okay. All right.
Setting up the rest of the show. If anyone wants.
By the way, yes. Earlier when I was the race on Preakness Day that is for three-year-old colts is called the Sir Barton.
That's right. You're right. Yes.
Yeah. And we won that. I was in a partnership.
How about that?
I think I had 20% of a horse called Best Minister.
Hmm.
And we won the Sir Barton 1 year, and we were going to run him in the Belmont. And Prime and Scott and I were literally in the car on the way to the airport when Kenny McPeak called and said, we've got a temperature. We won't be running in the Belmont Stakes.
So are you coming in for all of Derby Week?
Yes.
You want to do the show backside?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Let's go. It's going to be great. Looking forward to those shows. Very fun. If you don't know and you're new to the show, I am one of the hosts of the Horse Racing Happy Hour podcast. We talked about all of these races last night at a little bit more length than Dan and I are going to be able to do today. You're welcome to check that out. Dan is a frequent guest on the Horse Racing Happy Hour. He'll be hanging out with us for Derby Week as well. All right, Dan. So let's get into these. The two races at Oaklawn Park. Let's go straight there. Let me get my paper sheet out here, because I'm 7,000 years old. The Whitmore, which used to be the Hot Springs, is a 6-furlong sprint, but Whitmore won it 4 years in a row, so they named it after him. Dan, do you know where Whitmore finished in the Kentucky Derby?
It was up the track because he was a sprinter.
Dead last.
So I'm going to say the middle of the pack.
Dead last.
Okay.
Right. Just a reminder
but
that.
But then he came back as like a 7-year-old and won the Breeders' Cup sprint.
I was there at Keeneland. It was unbelievable. Yeah. I did not have him on my tickets, and I still stood up and applauded because he was a cool horse, man. All right. So 6 furlongs, $200,000 for the grade three here. I think there is one jockey note for this race that kind of gives away who trainer Chris Hartman thinks is his most likely winner, and that's Francisco Arrieta staying on Tejano Twist the two and not riding edge to edge where you're going to get Juarez instead. Now, the number with Juarez is very good, 24%, but the jockey trainer at Oaklawn between Arrieta and Hartman is 31%. And so I think that's kind of the giveaway of those two horses. Interested to see a horse like Flash of Mischief, the 7 in this one as well, Dan. 1-for-3 at Oaklawn, 3-for-6 Lifetime at the Distance. Is in every other type. 1-2 back, 1-4 back, 1-6 back. Guess what this race is? It's the every other.
8 so, back.
I don't know why that's funny to me. So I have the 7 on top here. I think this is the every other.
Oh, my goodness. We're like an old married couple. That's who I pick.
There you go, for Carl Broberg and for Christian Torres. And so I'll be interested to see him.
And you look at, as you said, he's been successful at Oaklawn. He's an every other kind of horse. A bunch of these horses beat him last time. That was on a sloppy track. The time before that was also a sloppy track in a $150,000 stake, and he won by 7 3/4 with a 103 Byers. That's who it looks like. Looks like there's an awful lot of speed in this race, Louis, which of course there always is in these 6-furlong stake races. But it looks to me like Flash of Mischief can sit right off of it, and Torres is having a terrific meet at Oaklawn.
Another horse that I think you might want to include if you're planning a longer spot here is Cogburn the 9, 2-for-3 Lifetime at Oaklawn, including last time out. Ricardo Santana
Jr. This time.
There you go. Ricardo Santana Jr. is getting back to his old Ricardo Santana Jr. ways. If you listen to the podcast, you know he is the housewife of the show. There you go. We used to make the joke that he was the housewife for Steve Asmussen. So he would ride all the horses for the preps. And then when they got to the big stages, he would go to like Joe Rosario.
He'd put somebody else.
Yeah, right. So he was the housewife. And then when he went out, he took out somebody else. So. All right. So let's go to race 9. It's the Essex Handicap. This is a big boy race. $500,000 bucks. Grade 3. Mile and a 16th on the dirt course there. Because all they have is a dirt course. This is for 4-year-olds and up. And Dan, can you kind of explain what a handicap is to young Avery Dill?
Well, a handicap is supposedly the racing secretary, his office, will weight horses. And the idea is that according to the weights, they will all get to the finish line at the exact same time.
So the better horses.
You're handicapped by the amount of weight that you carry.
How about that? So one of the things you can do, Avery Dill, is look for the horse that's carrying the most weight because that means they've had the most success.
Oh, that's quite interesting.
It's kind of an easy giveaway. And in this race, that's Last Samurai on the outside. Do you like Last Samurai in this race, Dan?
I do.
Okay, I agree.
The last race was just exceptional, and going a mile and a 16th, and it looks like he can go as far as they ride him. The time before that, they shipped him down to Gulfstream, and he ran 4th behind Art Collector, and he was 52 to 1 in that race, and ran 4th. But as I handicapped this race, Louis, you start looking, and there are reasons for a lot of these horses not to win.
Yes.
That's the way I handicapped this race.
Yeah, like a Vittorio in the 2-hole here runs 100 last time out. Can he repeat that, right? That kind of stuff. Did it over kind of muddy go at Gulfstream Park. I got a long shot play here, Dan.
Okay.
I think Tawny Port's got a serious shot here. I think he's a really talented horse. Isn't carrying a lot of weight. Rafa Bejarano, if people don't know, Rafa won the riding title at Santa Anita 3 years in a row and moved his tack to Kentucky so that his family wouldn't have to move around and they could live in one house. And he lives about a mile down the road from me, actually. And decided this year, instead of riding at Turfway, to actually go down to Oaklawn, and it has paid dividends. He's winning at 17%. He and Brad Cox almost never get together on horses. And so it's an interesting choice here. Horse hasn't run a bunch of big races recently, but did get one in February at Fairgrounds in the Mineshaft, a Grade 3 race there. I'm interested second off the layoff here if the other Brad Cox isn't the horse to play here, because he does bring in Forza Di Oro, who's been running well against graded company. But I think in this place, Tawny Port at 15-1 is much better value. He did win the Ohio Derby last year at Thistledown. Ran in the Kentucky Derby last year, ran within 4.5 lengths of the winner under a fantastic housewife, Ricardo Santana Jr. And so I think he's got a ton of talent. He's the son of Pioneer of the Nile. We've seen all of his horses do really well. But I think at 15-1 that price is really good, but I do think Last Samurai the most likely winner.
Yeah, the reason I didn't like Forza D'Oro is he kind of runs in one place, Louis.
As a plotter, yeah, right.
And he was on the lead last time out at the fairgrounds, and the time he ran a 25-second first quarter, 49-3 to the half, and still couldn't hold off those horses. And I don't know, with Classic Causeway in right. here, I don't know that he gets to the lead anyway. So
Of the two
Brad Cox, I agree with you. I like the 15-1 shot better than the 7-2 shot.
My sequence in the sheet this weekend, $5 to go pick one up at your local liquor store in town here, greensheetracing.com, is actually the beginning of the late pick six at Laurel this weekend. Don't play the pick six. Play the pick five. It's 12% takeout at Laurel. But the fifth race, the sixth race, and the seventh race. I have a long shot in race five that I really like named Street Loot, the six.
At Laurel?
At Laurel. She's 5-11 at Laurel, 3-6 at the distance, second off the layoff here. Trainer John Robb hits at a solid 18% in stakes. Jockey Xavier Perez combines with him to win at 24% at Laurel. There are two favorites who are less than 2-1 on the morning line. She's at 6-1. If she fires, I think she wins this race, and that's in race five, the six, Street Loot. I haven't heard from Longshot today on the text line. That guy always texts on Fridays. Hope he's all right. Or maybe we're off the Derby Trail this weekend, so he's a little less weekend warrior.
He's like me. He's saving his money for Keeneland.
There you go. All right. Well, let's get into these basketball games. Obviously, Kentucky and Indiana both playing today. You get Kentucky at 7 o'clock, and you'll get I think the Indiana game actually starts on Saturday morning. there he is. There's like, hey, Longshot, hey. All right, call me fast in a shocker in the Essex. See you in the cashier's. That's my favorite thing. See you in the cashier's line. That's my favorite. Dismount from old Longshot. All right, so that is his horse. I always
Who
have
does
to,
he like?
Call me fast. I think that's the four horse.
Okay.
That's Francisco Arrieta, man. I don't hate that at all. For the Puich Barn, has won his last two, and one over Sloppy Go at a mile and a 16th, and one at a mile. That's a two-turn mile down there. Both at Oaklawn, 92 speed figure for both. So seems to really like Oaklawn, 2-for-2 lifetime there, 1-for-1 at the distance as well. Race five at what track on what day, Louie? Okay, you know what? That is a very, very, very fair text. Race five tomorrow at Laurel Park. I like the six. And her name was Street Loot. I called her Street Sense last night. And I said, of course.
There's already a Street Sense.
Yeah, I was like, well, you know what? If Street Sense was in this race, I would bet Street Sense. Yeah, that's right. The guys were nice. They were nice. All right, so we'll go to UK first.
Okay.
They match up with Providence. The Bryce Hopkins angle is out there.
Now, are we just picking the winner, or are we picking against the spread?
Let's go ahead and pick against the spread.
Okay.
And I
four
think,
and a half is what I've got.
Yep. Okay, we'll go with that. That sounds perfectly fine to me. I think that's probably right where the game's going to end, is in that 4, 5, 6 kind of point range. What do you have, Dan?
I'll take Kentucky and give the 4.5.
Okay.
There's so much on the line here, and everybody involved has to understand that. The Providence coach has one foot out the door. He's supposedly going to Georgetown. And
what a terrible move, by the way.
Don't you think?
It's a horrible
move. I mean, it's going to take, you talk about it all the time. Georgetown was great. Georgetown ain't great right now.
And I don't just know assume that, you can recapture.
Yeah. And have you ever seen the facility? Now, it's been years since I've seen them. Maybe they've improved them.
Sure.
But when I was there, the facilities at Georgetown, the basketball facilities, we had a better gym at my junior high. But anyway, there's just so much on the line here, and I've got to think that Kentucky comes out with their hair on fire and plays well. So I'll take Kentucky and give the 4.5.
4.5. All right. I got Kentucky like 71-65. So I'll lay the points too. I think they play a boring game. I think they're reasonably effective in the half court, and I think they just they force Providence to play on the three-point line, essentially, is what they're going to try to do. And Providence has not been playing well. So I'm hoping for that prediction that Providence continues their vein of form, as we would say in horse racing, and is a just not as effective – that they play like an 11 seed, essentially. That's what I'm hoping. So, all right, how about IU? They've got
Go ahead.
They are playing the late game in Albany against Kent State, who came out of the MAC, 13 seed, 4-13. IU, even smaller favorite, 4 points here, over-under of 140. So they think this game is going to be something like 72-68, Dan.
I'm going with Indiana. As I look at this bracket, Louie, and Houston, I can't get excited about Houston, especially if Sasser in 100%. And you look at Miami, and Miami is a five seed and did well in the ACC this year. Xavier, you know, is Xavier. Texas A&M got beat. Texas is Indiana has a real opportunity here, I think.
Totally agree with you. Yes.
You know, I think they can go a little ways in this bracket. And so hopefully they are looking at this, and I know you can't look ahead, especially in this year's tournament. You can't look ahead to anything. But I would think, just like Kentucky, I would think they come out and say, hey, not only do we have a shot to win tonight, we've got a shot to win a few games here. So I'll go with Indiana and give the four.
I really feel that if they were playing like they – do you remember the stretch where they punked Purdue, they punked Michigan State, they beat Michigan. You know, they had like a 4 or 5-game stretch where Trace Jackson Davis looked like the best player in the country.
Yep.
And if they can recapture whatever that was – and maybe you can do that in the NCAA tournament because people don't know you like the conference teams do, right? There's no reason they can't make the Final Four with what their draw is. I think Texas without Beard, eventually it catches up to them in the tournament. Eventually the coaching matters. That's why the Bill Self angle, by the way, is a huge story. Because Kansas has a really serious shot at the Final Four, and if he's not there, mm-hmm. it's less. I think they win tonight. I'll say they cover 74-67, something like that. Okay. I think they're going to be very similar games.
All right.
And I think it's going to be down to the wire. I think Kentucky gets a lead and starts to give it away, and there's some nail-biting in the end of that game.
Mm.
Because against teams of this quality, unfortunately.
Do you see any upsets today? The magnitude of a 2 getting beat or a 4 getting beat?
Where would I go with that? I would not be stunned if VCU wins, but they're a 12. I've got USC beating Michigan State. And then outside of that, I'm interested in a team like Cal Santa Barbara against Baylor, because Baylor kind of just throws in clunkers once in a while.
Yeah, they kind of limp to the finish
line. Yeah, that's exactly right. So that might be one.
I have Baylor winning tonight, but I don't have them going any farther than that.
So. There you go.
Yeah. Well, right, it'll be fun. Yeah. It always is. This has been Issel and Louie, ESPN 680 105.7. And we'll be back again Monday morning at 10 o'clock to talk about all of the things that transpire in the college basketball championship. We'll be here. We hope you are too. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend, everybody.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it,"
but then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist,"
or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.